In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The parable of the talents we heard today is one of many, lately, focusing on end times. These stories typically depict a master or bridegroom or king returning and doing their thing, judging. Three slaves were given different amounts of money. Two used the money to make a profit, and one buried the money for safekeeping. What would you do? Individual investment strategies range from a high tolerance for risk to very low risk tolerance to completely risk averse. Then, factoring in investing money that's not your own. Add to that, it's the money of your scary master. This parable could have turned out very differently if the market had taken a tumble. Then our one talent hoarder would have been the winner. This slave thinks the master is harsh, a harsh man who takes what is not clearly his and strikes fear in the hearts of those around him. The master regards this slave as wicked and lazy and worthless. Actually, that does sound a little harsh. This parable is about how we live our lives and the risks we're willing to take. And the lesson comes from Jesus, who didn't hesitate to take the risks, to put the fear aside. He's telling his disciples in this parable, and us now, what he expects of us all. It's about being a faithful disciple of Jesus, and so yes, it's about you and me. Now, a talent was a substantial sum of money equivalent to 15 years' wages. When I read this parable, it's difficult for me, at least, not to think of our word talent as in the various talents we've been blessed with, and then think about what we choose to do with them. Some easily and fearlessly just go with their talents, using what they have and risking. Risking what? What do we risk when we follow the path of the talents we've been blessed with? Now, if we're thinking along the lines of more tangible talents like creative ability, mental and physical capacities, what we risk, what we fear when we decide to live into them, are things like failure, humiliation, loss, injury, financial ruin. There's lots of risk. My dad once risked a lot to open his own tailor shop. And what about the less tangible gifts we've been blessed with, our qualities, our empathy, compassion, generosity, our open hearts, our loving souls? These are the talents we've been given to invest, to make the most of, with impact on God's kingdom. What holds us back from leaning into these gifts? Possibly, like the guy with the one talent, it's fear. Fear because there's also much at stake, much to risk when we freely use these gifts, exercise these types of things. It can be costly, not just monetarily, but costly of our time, our comfort level, our convenience, our patience. It can range from a life-changing discernment to pursue ordained ministry to discerning to stop and give a buck to the homeless person on the corner. This third slave today could perhaps be defended since he didn't misuse his talent. He didn't risk it or lose it or use it for his own benefit. And he returns it to his master. So how wicked, lazy, and worthless was he? Aside from calling the master harsh, what did he get wrong? Where he went wrong was letting his fear dictate his actions. Fear of his master, who he feels is unfair and harsh. So he's then labeled worthless and lazy. Now, when I think lazy, I think of a word like sloth. One of the seven deadly sins, don't you love that term, deadly sins? I do. One of the seven deadly sins is sloth. I always thought sloth was simply laziness, as our one talent slave is accused, and that's why I bothered to look it up. But the meaning is much deeper. Here's what you'll find if you Google the sin of sloth. Don't just Google sloth, because you'll just get a ton of information about that squirmy animal. Sloth is, and I'm quoting, a failure to do things that one should do. And sloth becomes sin when it slows down and even brings to a halt the energy we must expend in using the means to salvation. And that points to sloth meaning lack of compassion, unwillingness to love, lack of joy, and not living into the gifts, the talents we've been blessed with. It's playing it safe, investing zero, digging a hole and burying our souls in the ground. And Jesus in this parable likens that to being banished to the outer darkness. So perhaps at this point, besides wondering if your deacon is going all fire and brimstone on you, you're considering the same thing I am, how your personal faith might possibly be a high-risk venture. More likely, it seems just the opposite, a source of comfort and personal security, and it can be easy. We believe the truths about God and Jesus, we get an understanding of theology and live a good life, avoiding the bad things. Well, that's all really nice, but Jesus has asked that we don't just intellectually, even spiritually, that we don't just on the surface understand and accept his teachings. Jesus asks that we risk living them. This parable is our invitation to the high risk venture of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. In our life of faith, the greatest risk we take is to not risk anything, to not care deeply and profoundly enough to offer our hearts and our souls, to invest them deeply and take the risk. We know what our faith entails. We're good with that knowledge, but sometimes not so good about carrying it forward into our daily lives. We're good at recognizing our talents and our hearts, knowing what we should be doing, but then not doing it. We know what living our faith looks like, but hesitate to live it, burying much of our truly good qualities in the ground. We lose sight that these talents, these qualities are God-given, and we need to invest them wisely. Add to that those times when God seems to be not so present for us. That happens. Well, God is always in the background. God doesn't move around. We do. There will be times we just feel disconnected. God does not micromanage us, but gives us space, letting us find our own way back to connection with God. God demonstrates love, not always by doing for us, but by limiting God's self and letting us learn. By bestowing gifts, giving us talents, then leaving town to see what we do with them. We have all these end times parables, these masters and landowners and bridegrooms and kings returning to judge. They depict the return of a harsh and maybe even an unfair God, a God to be feared. Judgment is usually not a warm and fuzzy thing to look forward to. And personally, for me, I find it too heavy a word for me to associate with our God of love. But fear of God's judgment does not stand alone. That fear is an outgrowth of being out of alignment with God, out of alignment with our faith and what we know is expected of us. That's when fear of God's judgment creeps in. If we keep God at a distance, it's easy to fall into a fear of judgment mode. If we keep God at a distance, ignore what we know in our hearts is the right path, and then find ourselves in relationship with a harsh, judgy God, well, that's on us. Perhaps God is only as harsh as we imagine, only as harsh as our actions and lack of actions conjure up. This master gave different amounts to his slaves, each according to his ability, and gives them freedom to respond in their own way. Likewise, we're all given our compassion, our kindness, our loving hearts and souls. We're giving them in a measure we're meant to fully access. And it's in the risk, the personal cost, the sacrifice of investing our gifts that we live into the kingdom of God. When we do this, we can't guarantee the outcomes, the results, the impact. Yet we can't let that paralyze us into inaction. Was this landowner in today's gospel rewarding the spirit of the risk takers or the outcome? I think God is looking at our efforts, not our outcomes. This week, we'll celebrate Thanksgiving Day. As we think about what we're thankful for, whether we're thinking it just to ourselves or going around the table, let's also give thanks for our talents, the practical ones and the intangible ones, the qualities of our souls. And let's ask ourselves, what will I do with them? What will I risk? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.